B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Amazing. You know, I mean, who would have thought a kid from Utica, New York, playing the Sydney Opera House?
It is truly amazing where his guitar has taken him. Legendary guitarist Joe Bonamassa is my guest today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. We talk about his recent fire at his house in Los Angeles. Thankfully, everyone's okay. How about Vegas and the legendary band he sat in with just a couple weeks ago, as well as a band he auditioned for as a kid?
I auditioned for UFO when I was 18 years old. And
really?
The gig came down to me and Vinnie Moore.
We talk about his brand new record live at the Sydney Opera House, which came out on October 25th, as well as various guitar players, even Ginger Baker. And oh, by the way, what is he addicted to collecting?
I love 400 guitars and 400 amps.
That and a lot more today with Joe Bonamassa on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Thank you guys so much for checking out Talkin' Rock. I do appreciate it. It's Meltdown back here after last week. Had a couple of episodes last week, right? Desmond Child, legendary songwriter and producer, and I mean, just the great stories he told, as well as the guys from Saliva talking about Josie Scott getting back in the band. So if this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, I do appreciate it. Maybe go back and listen to some of the past ones. We do talk a little bit about John Five, Rob Zombie's guitar player, coming up in the interview with Joe. And I had John Five on a couple weeks ago as well. But let's talk about Joe here. I mean, arguably one of the world's biggest blues guitarists. He's currently on the cover of the brand new Guitar World. I mean, just all sorts of accolades. The Sydney Opera House. I mean, this is a venue for A-list talent performers. That's where he recorded his latest record, which came out on October 25th. So lots of stuff to talk to as far as Joe is concerned. If you're anywhere in the Southeast Michigan area, he's playing at the Fox Theater coming up this Friday as I record this on November 8th. I'll tell you what, as Joe talks about this completely unprovoked, that is one of the nicest venues I've ever been in my life. It's beautiful. A lot of history, great architecture, and we talk about that coming up here in just a bit as well. In the meantime, let's start our conversation off by talking about the fire that took place at Joe's house a few weeks back in Los Angeles. That's where we get started today with Joe Bonamassa on Talkin' Rock.
I did. I had a brush fire in my driveway, and thanks to the fine folks in the Laurel Canyon Los Angeles Fire Department for an amazingly quick response and an amazingly efficient job of putting the fire out. And I was honored to meet the head firefighter in Las Vegas. And he came to the show, and I thanked him profusely. And, you know, they're the real heroes. I mean, we're struggling out there in Los Angeles and California with these fires, and it seems they grow in intensity and in frequency every year. And, you know, it's like, well, thank God nothing happened to my house. Thank God the whole canyon didn't burn up. But, you know, a lot of people have lost their homes. Whole towns have been wiped out in the last 2 or 3 years. Out of the 17 years that I've been there, 18 years that I've been there, it's by far the most frequent and crazy time, you know, weather-wise, fire-wise. And it doesn't seem like there's any end in sight, to be honest with you.
Now, you said that you've been there for 17, 18 years. Now, how come you haven't made the trek to Nashville like so many of your cohorts have?
Oh, I have a place in Nashville.
Oh,
as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I didn't know that. So, okay.
Yeah. So I have a Tennessee driver's license. I'm with y'all.
All right.
I'm down.
I talk to more and more people in this business, rockers, you know, rock stars, you know, even like, you know, Dave Mustaine and Tom Kiefer, and you know, the list is endless of guys that are living in Nashville nowadays.
Nashville is a great town. It's definitely the CNBC term is the salad years. You know, this is when there's more cranes in the air than planes.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I'm not sure if it's a bubble or if there's no end in sight. But certainly a city like that could not grow at that pace exponentially and forever. But but it's a great time to be there. And there is a lot of musicians. I mean, that are either seeking salvation or seeking the high humidity and low taxes.
Yeah, there you go. So you just mentioned Las Vegas. I was actually out there a few weeks ago, but I know you were there. What was it? Last week or the week before?
We were there last week. We played the legendary Caesar's Palace. And we had the legendary Neil Sean sit in with us, and the night before I got to sit in with Journey, and it was a really fun weekend in Vegas. I know it's not really a town that's associated with fun or anything like that, but we managed to eke out a good time.
Well, that's good, yeah, because not many people do. You're right about that. So you go there. So what song did you play on stage with Journey?
Loving, Touching, Feeling.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and I sent a video to my mother, which this by the end of that video, she will stop bugging me to get a real job. You know, I finally made it on the big time stage with Journey, so she was rightfully chuffed, as they say in England.
Well, they might say that. I never heard that before. But so is your mom, like, is she a Journey fan?
Oh yeah, my mother loves Fleetwood Mac era Rumors, Rumors era Fleetwood Mac, right? She loves Journey. She loves all the classics, you know. And you know, it's like, you know, we grew up in upstate New York, and you know, between, you know, and it's like, you know, you know, classic rock radio, you listen to Journey, is a staple on classic rock radio, Foreigner, you know, Fleetwood Mac, and you know, and all those bands. So, you know, my mom was just a music fan, and so is my dad. You know, they just love music. And but, you know, like when I told them I was on stage with Journey, they're like, whoa, dude, that's big time. That's like a, you know, I go, Mom, you were there when Eric Clapton came out in the Albert Hall. You're like, no, this is Journey. <You
know? laughs> That is so cool, because sometimes I'll tell my dad, who I grew up in Buffalo, by the way. So where's upstate New York for you?
Upstate New York, hometown, Utica, New York.
All right, Utica, there you go.
WOUR, 96.9 FM, you know, cranking out the hits.
I almost had a job in Utica / Syracuse and all that area many, many years ago in the mid-90s before I came here to Detroit. But as I was saying, so I talk to my dad sometimes, and I'll say, hey, Dad, I interviewed so-and-so or such-and-such. And I'm always trying to see if he's impressed, and a lot of times he's not. But that, I guess you probably play that game with your parents, too.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you know, you're I'm still their firstborn, and nothing's going to change that. But it's nice. We're excited to be back at the Fox Theater in Detroit. In my opinion, it is the absolute nicest theater, not only in the country but in the world, that we play. It's a international treasure, that place.
And yeah,
we're very lucky. This will be our fourth time in there.
I'm glad you say that, because you know, I've been here now for just over 24 years, and it is amazing, that place. And people don't know about this, but that wall that's in the backstage area with all the legendary signatures on it, that's behind the plexiglass.
Yes,
it's an unbelievable.
Well, you know, I mean, even the dressing room in the door, you know, like, I mean, the dressing room area, the dressing room I always get at the Fox, it's signed by Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, and there's a Frank Sinatra and a Rat Pack autograph, you know, and you're like, man, it's like when you play those great places, like the Albert Hall in London and you know, Carnegie Hall, and, you know, all this places, like, it's like, whatever you're doing on that stage, the stuff that has come before you, you feel such a weight and an honor to be on those stages because of what music has been made in these rooms, and it's not lost on me. You know, I remember playing Tigers in Detroit. Okay, So the Fox Theater is very welcome and is always a fun stop.
Yeah, for people that are listening to this outside of Detroit, the Fox Theater is just so beautiful. It was built in the 1920s, and it's immaculate. And I was thinking about this before I started talking to you. So you got this record out now that came out last month, Live at the Sydney Opera House. So your guitar has really afforded you the place to travel and play some amazing places like you were just talking about. It's unbelievable.
amazing. You know, I mean, who would have thought a kid from Utica, New York, playing the Sydney Opera House, you know? And you know, and it came out today that it was released last week, the Sydney Opera House, and it's my 22nd consecutive number one blues album. Wow. And on the Billboard charts, and which is the all-time record in the category. Not that I'm trying to brag, but I am trying to brag a little bit, because I'm very proud of our team and all the people that work so tirelessly on my behalf to do this, and of course the fans who support the music for now almost 25 years, you know, and as a solo artist, you know, and 30 years in the business. So it's an honor, and it's not lost on me. I'm very lucky.
No, it is remarkable. And, you know, it's like, from what I can tell from your past and stuff, you were kind of like a road dog, and now you're starting to slow it down a little bit. But, I mean, just going out there meeting and greeting and playing the gigs and through social media and everything, you've built up this pretty big following.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're slated to do 4,500 tickets in Detroit and at the Fox. I mean, that's a lot of tickets for anybody, and especially for an artist that doesn't really have a discernible radio hit of any kind. I have songs that people know that I'm associated with, but they weren't like, you know, it's not Journey. You know what I mean?
Right.
those are hit songs. I saw that. I kept the set list. I'm like, yeah, these are some real hits right here. All 30, you know, they did like 15 songs that night, and they basically 13 of them were like number one hits. You know, just go, wow, what a catalog.
Yeah, my friend John Five texted me, and I asked him. I said, "You know Joe or whatever?" And he says, "A great dude, super smart, really talented." He says he does everything himself with his manager. It's incredible. So you know, people do see that.
Well, you know, I love John. I sat in with him at his gig in Los Angeles about a month and a half ago, and I said to him, I said, you know, John, nobody in the world is doing what you're doing. The it's a complete, for an instrumental guitar show. He has the sight, the sound, the everything going on. And there's a reason why places that he plays are sold out, is because he understands that he's an entertainer and then a great guitar player, you know, and it was really cool to see how the world that he's built for himself. And we kind of do that a lot. And, you know, we do that ourselves in the, you know, within the blues, you know, but John's like one of my favorite players and cats. He's a good guy.
Yeah. My friend Bumblefoot says he's a fan too, and he wanted me to say hello to you. Do you know Bumble?
I've never met him, but I'm a fan as well. Wow. A lot of Joe B loves a lot tonight, and I can tell you that.
There you go. Hey, so you talk about playing with Journey and stuff. Has there ever been an artist or a band that's kind of approached you to, like, become a member of their band? I mean, I know you're in some other separate bands, but anyone that's been established?
No, I auditioned for UFO when I was 18 years old. And
really?
The gig came down to me and Vinnie Moore. And Vinnie Moore is much better suited for that gig than I would have been at 18 years old, and he still has that gig. So yeah, I auditioned at Pete Way's house in Columbus, Ohio, and they liked my tone, they liked my take on rock bottom, but I didn't have the, I looked like Opie Taylor with a flying V. It wasn't quite the image they were looking for at the time.
Yeah, know? I just saw them like a week and a half ago, and yeah, Vinny is still playing with them. So when did you decide, like, well, you know what, I'm just going to go at it my own? Was it then?
Well, necessity is the mother of invention. When the phone doth not ring, you must get moving. And, you know, I mean, it 20 years, 25 years removed from those days, you know, my first solo albums and tours and stuff like that. I mean, our prospects were pretty bleak. And you know, I mean, we sit here talking about the great places we've played over the years. It's not lost on me how much the fans have continue to put me in these places and support our music and support me. And it's one of those things where it's not lost on me that the early struggles, because it was not a guarantee. And we had to kind of make everything up as we were going along. We had to kind of we didn't have a major label. We had our own label. We had a distribution company. We didn't have any major media or press. So in 2009, we started a very wonderful relationship with Public Broadcasting, and they started running our DVDs, our edit versions of our DVDs, next to like Reading Rainbow and the Lawrence Welk Show. And, that's like, it's like Metallica playing a bar mitzvah. It stuck out, but it resonated, and people were like, all of a sudden, about 12 years ago, everybody goes, oh, I can pronounce Bonamassa. It's not that hard. Before that, it was like some hieroglyphic Egyptian thing that needed like a university level professor to pronounce, a linguist. And it was just one of those things. But all of a sudden, you're thrust into the limelight, and then the guy in the suit, okay.
Now, your story kind of reminds me a little bit of when I talked to like my friend Gary Hoey. It was almost like kind of the same thing. I mean, are you friends with Gary?
I love Gary. Man, you know a lot of famous people, dude.
I know a few, yeah.
I love Gary. And Gary's, been a good friend for over 10 years. And he sat in with our band a few times and always kills it. And he's a great rock guitar player. And he's a great blues guitar player. He's the total package.
What about a guy who I don't know that well, but I've interviewed several times, Kenny Wayne Shepherd? That's right in your wheelhouse, too, right?
Kenny and I are the same age. He likes to say I'm older by a couple of months, which is fine. It's fair enough. And we've been doing this for the same amount of time. And I have so much respect for Kenny because he's a cut above in every way. His songs, the production, the presentation. And, he's also a survivor. I mean, it's hard to last 30 years in the music business, and he's doing great, and his show is great, and we had him on our cruises this year, and the audience in the boats loved him, and it was he's a bona fide headliner, and you don't become that just overnight. That's 10,000 gigs, 20,000 hours, and a lot of talent. That's Kenny Wayne, and he's a nice guy and a fellow cigar smoker. So. Kind of bond with the Cuban cigars. I don't know if I can say that. It doesn't matter.
You can, yeah. It's no problem. Hey, you mentioned the cruises and stuff. What do you think of those cruises? You like them?
We've been doing 2 a year, and this was our first year. We did two, and then we did five. We've been doing it for 5 years. And you know what? The fans love it. The charity gets a nice check at the end of the day. The camaraderie amongst the bands, the camaraderie amongst the fans, and it's only 4 days. So it's not like, some of these other cruises are like a week, and then people start getting like scurvy and the gout and all those diseases like the pirates got. But the four days, it's nice because it really, everybody's excited, and there's a lot of inner jamming. Like my band, we have four or five different splinter groups just in my band alone. So like, Jade McRae's band or Mahalia's band or Paulie's band, and everybody's jamming, I'm jamming, and it's a situation that, because of what it is unique, because generally we're not all in the same bill at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you have time to kind of put that in there and put that out there.
Yeah, I haven't been on a rock cruise, but I do like cruises in general. You mentioned, we were talking about Kenny Wayne Shepherd a few minutes ago. He collects guitars and stuff. And how many guitars do you have in your collection? Do you know?
I have 400 guitars, about.
400, wow.
I have about 400 guitars and 400 amps. And it's bad. It's real bad. It's not a good thing. and it shouldn't be a good thing. But it just is what it is. I'm a son of a guitar dealer. And I got the bug. So
wow, your dad was a guitar dealer. Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was. He had two stores. Yeah.
Wow. Did you? I mean, you've probably been to House of Guitars a bunch of times in Rochester, right?
645 Titus Avenue. I even know the address. Yeah.
I think I remember that from the commercials back in the day. So like
645 Titus Avenue.
Yep. Yeah. So out of all your guitars, I mean, you got to have a couple that are just priceless to you, right?
I have yeah, I mean, I have three original Flying Vs. I have Tommy Bolin's 1960 Les Paul. I have more guitars and equipment than any other human should ever require or need or want to be in the same room with. There's a few legendary instruments in the collection just by default, and there's a few legendary instruments that are associated with me and my playing, and the whole thing takes on a life of its own.
Wow, that is so kick-ass. It's like, I got a collection of stuff, but it's like, it's probably nothing along that. I got maybe five or six guitars, but nothing that's been played or anything like that, just like autographed and whatnot. But, I mean, do guitar players give you guitars? Do you ask other guitar players for them or what?
I don't need anything. I encourage people not to give me anything. I don't want any more stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. So we were talking about, you know, playing all these big-time theaters and all these places around the world that are just so famous and stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, next year you're going to Abbey Road to record. Have you recorded there before?
No, I've recorded there with Ginger Baker, and I've recorded there with John Lord. And I did a few overdubs there, but I've never made a record there. So we're very excited about that in January. And we're going to make a British blues record in London, as you were. You know, and that's I want that sound. I want to immerse myself in that culture. I want to be there. You know, I want to do this thing. You know, and Abbey Road is a bucket list gig for me.
Now, you just mentioned Ginger Baker. So I just talked to Vinny Appice about him a few weeks ago. So what was your thoughts on Ginger Baker?
Ginger was a tortured soul, but he's a very talented man, and we all loved him, and I don't know if he understood that by the end, because he was so tortured, and all people wanted to do was just help him, because we had such reverence for the music and his ability and as a drummer and as a unique individual. He was as advertised, and as long as you were willing to sign up for that, then so be it. You knew the job was dangerous, you know. And when I played with him on that record, I knew the job was dangerous, and I was as advertised, and that's fine. But you know, I had such reverence for Cream, and you know, and selfishly, I was like, man, you know, I could be one of the few people in the world to make music with, you know, not only Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, and Ginger Baker.
Wow.
And Ginger was the last member of Cream. It to me was just, as a fan and as a musician, you know, it doesn't get any better than that to get that call. Then you have to deal with it, you know, and I dealt with it and it was fine.
Yeah, I think Vinny said something around, he said something along the lines of crotchety.
Well, there's that. And you know, again, but everybody knew it. And
yeah.
If you signed up for it, then you signed up for it. Then you shouldn't can't complain after that. So, listen, I have to play a show in South Bend, Indiana, so I have to run.
Hey, well, listen, Joe, it's really great talking to you, man. I was going to cut you loose here in a second anyways, but listen, to Detroit and the Fox is coming Friday night, and thank you so much for your time. Have a great show tonight in South Bend.
Dude, great chatting with you. Thank you very much.
All right, Joe, we'll talk to you soon. See you, man.
All right. Cheers, man. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The great Joe Bonamassa today in the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. I have to admit, Joe's a lot funnier than I thought he was going to be. Really a fun conversation. Hope you guys dug that. Normally, we have Al Beck here with Rock News to discuss the latest and what's going on. But Al's a little bit under the weather this week. I told him to take that mix of whiskey and honey and lemon juice. You know, puts a little hair on your chest and keeps you, you know, flu-free. Or at least a little bit. At least that's what I've always done. No one's ever called me a doctor. But anyways, Al's not available, so maybe he'll be on the next episode. We'll see what happens. Hey, once again, guys, thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you do like it, I do appreciate you subscribing. Write a review on Apple. Give it 5 stars if you like it. Share it with your friends as well. And we'll do it all over again real soon. It's the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.